You are listening to a sermon by Angelica Dawson, recorded on Sunday, May 3, 2015, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
The scripture passage from Philippians that we heard, and thank you for sharing that story as well, is a favorite text of mine. I committed it to memory when I was on bed rest with my son, Aaron. I had lost three babies before him and also lost one after him. And so pregnancy for me was an obvious point of anxiety. To be honest, I'm actually a professional worrier. I can worry at the drop of a hat. So passages like the one from Philippians sometimes feel like they were written specifically for me. Hey, Angelica, quit worrying. Start praying. Be thankful. Guard your heart and mind. Well, I would if it were that easy. Today we're focusing on mental health, and I am very grateful for the opportunity to do this with you this morning. A year and a half ago, I began working with Communitas Supportive Care Society and in their communications department. And last year at this time, we posted three stories on our website of people who have a lived experience of mental illness. The response that we got through social media was overwhelming. And what particularly stood out for me was the number of pastors who said, "We don't talk about this enough in our congregations. We really need to talk about this more." So I pulled together a group of people who all have a lived experience of mental illness, and we created the worship material that we are using today to help churches engage in this topic. And I understand that this is not anything new for you here at Point Grey, but I can tell you that you are rare. Not very many churches want to address the elephant in this room. The Canadian Mental Health Association tells us that 20% of all Canadians will experience some form of mental illness in their lives. So that undoubtedly means that there are people who are in our pews in all of our churches who have or who will experience some kind of mental illness in their lifetime. And as people of faith, I think it's important for us to be aware and to consider how can we respond and support people on their journey towards mental wellness. My own journey with mental illness began 6 years ago. And it began in the dentist's chair. I was having a crown put in, something that I'd had done before, so it wasn't anything unusual. I don't have a fear of dentists. In fact, I quite like my dentists. He's a lovely young man. And one of the things that they routinely do in our dentist's office is when they're ready to start the procedure, they put a pair of clear glasses on you so that stuff that comes flying out of your mouth doesn't land in your eyes. So again, this was something that I was expecting. It was nothing new. But on this particular day, when the assistant put those glasses on my face, I suddenly felt like I couldn't breathe. My heart was racing. It felt like it was leaping out of my chest. My legs and my hands became really tense. I had a death grip on the side of that dentist chair. And in my head, I was saying to myself, "What is the matter with you? You are fine." But my body didn't feel fine at all. What I learned later was that I had experienced a panic attack brought on by anxiety. The dictionary defines anxiety like this: a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically brought about by an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. So people often experience a general state of anxiety when they're going through something challenging, like a test or a recital or a job interview or even a dentist's appointment. These feelings are easily justified and are considered normal. But my experience was anything but normal. Anxiety as a form of mental illness occurs when a reaction is completely out of proportion with what you might expect to be normal in a situation. I felt like I was dying, but clearly I was not. That panic attack was the first of several that I would have in the months to follow. Over time, I stopped sleeping. I developed claustrophobia. I couldn't be in a room without windows. So that made going to the bathroom at work really interesting, I can tell you. Sometimes I had a hard time being in my car. It felt like I was too closed in. I couldn't sleep in our bedroom. The window was too small. I took to sleeping on our living room couch, or rather, I tried sleeping, but every time I would shift from wakefulness to sleep, my body would jerk me awake. I got to the point where I thought I should maybe go to emergency, but I couldn't see myself in an emergency ward with no windows, and I didn't think that they would examine me in the parking lot, so I never went. My anxiety became so severe that my body began to shut down. My stomach no longer produced stomach acid, and I couldn't digest my food. Meals became an excruciating challenge, and so I basically stopped eating. I lost 30 pounds in a little over a month. My journey with mental illness has helped me appreciate the relationship between body, mind, and spirit. I'm grateful for a doctor who accepted this relationship as well. She gave me reassurance. She helped me to understand that mental illness is a treatable illness. She gave me medication that enabled me to sleep. She encouraged me to visit a naturopath, which I did. And my naturopath helped me in many ways to solve the problem with my stomach and also with my anxiety. Both my doctor and my naturopath encouraged me to go to yoga classes, which I do, and which helps me enormously. And I also learned that mental illness runs in my family on both sides, so I come by this quite honestly. It's been a long road back, and it's not like I'm completely free of anxiety. I will always live with a tendency towards it. But another part of my journey towards mental health was meeting with a wonderful counselor named Laurel Hildebrandt. Laurel helped me examine the cause of my anxiety and did so in the context of my faith. It was paradigm shifting for me. I began to realize that I was always waiting for the next bad thing to happen, the next test of my faith. Laurel essentially taught me to meditate, helping me to reimagine God as one who loves me deeply, rather than one who is just waiting to test my faith at every turn. She gave me practical tools that I can use when I feel anxiety creeping into my life again, and I use these tools regularly. I tell you my story today in order to highlight that mental illness can happen to anyone at any time with no warning, and sometimes with what appears to be no obvious cause. I share my story today also to acknowledge that my experience is mine, and as such, it is unique to me. Others may have had similar experiences, but I know that people experience anxiety or depression or bipolar or other mental health challenges quite differently, and I want to acknowledge that. But I also wanted to share my story today in light of our text because it has been such a significant scripture for me, both as a piece of scripture that I have wrestled with and one that I have found to be profoundly encouraging. I believe that there is wisdom here for all of us. I certainly hope so. Now, when Paul wrote this letter, it's not likely that he was addressing people with a debilitating mental illness. Paul wrote this letter under house arrest in Rome and wrote to thank his friends in Philippi for their kindness to him. He was simply trying to be an encouragement to the church in Philippi for them to stand firm in face of their own persecution. So that's the actual context of this letter. But in that short section in chapter 4 that we heard earlier, Paul encourages his friends to pray, to focus their thoughts on positive things, and to learn from him and one another. I think there's much that we can draw from that short text as we examine mental health today. Be anxious for nothing, Paul writes. As a professional worrier, and now as one who has a lived experience of mental illness, I can tell you that sometimes this passage of scripture, even though it's a favorite of mine, sometimes makes me angry because it sounds so easy, doesn't it? Don't worry, be happy. The thing is that none of us choose to be anxious. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, oh yeah, I better remember to worry about those five things today. Put them on my list, cross them off. It doesn't happen like that. Anxiety, whether it's the dictionary definition or the mental illness definition, just happens. It's how we respond to it that's important. Paul's encouragement focuses on guarding your heart and mind, staying positive in the face of difficulty. Rejoice, he says. He says it twice. When he tells the Philippians to pray, he's very specific. Pray, petition God, and make your requests known. But do it with thanksgiving. Remember to be thankful. Notice that it's these little acts alone that bring the promise of peace that transcends understanding. Paul doesn't say, pray, petition, be thankful, and when God answers your prayers exactly as you would like them to be answered, then you will experience peace. I want to draw your attention to the painting that I brought with me today, and I'll move it forward a little bit so that you can see it better. This painting was created by Linda Klippenstein, who is an Abbotsford-based artist, and she uses her artistic talents to engage people with social issues in the world. This painting is titled Hear My Prayer, and this is what Linda says. We sometimes forget that prayer is a two-way conversation. The kneeling figure here seems to be crying out in prayer. Broad, aggressive strokes made with a palette knife communicate the turmoil in which the figure sits, from which the figure pleads. It seems to be a harsh, even violent reality. Yet out of this turmoil there is light, streams of light. It is these that invoke the conversation. The plea is being made, it is also being heard, and God is responding. This painting is powerful to me. I see myself in the figure kneeling there. When I go back and read my journals from this period in my life, they are filled with prayers begging God to heal me. My thoughts were dark. My body was in pain. My spirit was filled with fear. I felt vulnerable. I often felt unheard. Sometimes I had no words. I can identify with the writer of Psalm 88. O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you, for my soul is full of trouble. I cry to you for help, O Lord. Why do you reject me and hide your face from me? I know that during this time, I was upheld by the prayers of others. My mom, my husband, my sister, close friends. My cousin, Wally Nickel, is on staff at Coast Community Church. Some of you might know him from Sherbrooke Mennonite Church, where he grew up and where he also pastored for a period of time. Wally is also a person who lives with anxiety and depression. And as I talked with him about his experience, he shared about the importance of being part of a faith community that is open and compassionate, of people who are willing to listen and not judge. He says that sometimes people of faith who are wrestling with mental illness need others to carry them on the journey. Just be present, he says. There were many times that I needed people who believed what I believed, who would not only walk with me, but sometimes walk for me. People who could point me back to the God who loves me. Knowing that there were people walking alongside me on my journey was encouraging and gave me the strength to pray again. I began to realize that being in prayer, not so much the doing of it, was what was making the difference for me. As I look at Paul's words to his friends in Philippi, it is the act of prayer itself, the petitioning and listening, the waiting and trusting, that begins the journey towards peace that guards your heart and mind. When I began to put into practice the tools that my counselor gave me and began to see God as my lover and not my judge, those prayers began to change. They moved from darkness to light, from a focus on illness to a focus on wellness, from fear to hope. Paul also encourages his friends in verse 8 to focus on the positive. Whatever is true, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think on these things and the peace of God will be with you. I have to say, when you're going through anxiety and depression, the last thing you want is a cheerleader to tell you to think positive. It's right up there with somebody telling you not to worry or be anxious, because who chooses to think dark, negative, fearful, angry thoughts? Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, oh yeah, remember to have dark thoughts today. For someone dealing with anxiety, the thoughts come unbidden, just as with feelings of anxiety. But just as what you do with your anxiety, what you do with your thoughts is what matters. For some people who experience severe psychosis, it requires medication and extensive counseling to turn those thoughts around. That was not the case for me. But sometimes it was desperately hard to be intentional about focusing my mind away from the negative towards the positive. But it certainly made a difference when I did. When I was going through the worst of my anxiety, I found that it mattered a great deal what I surrounded myself with. I love reading murder mysteries, and I love dramatic movies or thriller kinds of movies. But when I was working through my illness, I couldn't do any of that. I read crappy fluff novels, and I watched romantic comedies. Even my Bible reading was limited. I read through the Psalms, which was a wonderful experience, as I began to read over and over and over again about God's love for me. In a way, my heart and mind were actually telling me to put Paul's encouragement into practice. Today I practice mindfulness and meditation regularly in order to focus my thoughts in a positive, healthy way. My mantra, if you will, comes from the book of Acts. It is in Christ that I live and move and have my being. Paul ends this short section by saying, "Whatever you have learned from me or seen in me, put it into practice." One of the most powerful ministries that I have observed at Communitas is that of peer support work. People like my colleague Amelia walk alongside others who are at the beginning stages of their journey towards mental wellness. Amelia has lived through her own difficult journey. She experienced a severe psychotic breakdown and was hospitalized for several weeks. She was eventually diagnosed with bipolar disorder, but it took her years to recuperate. Medication, diet, exercise, prayer and meditation, and focusing on the positive are all tools that she uses to stay healthy. Today, she is a vibrant, positive, beautiful, cheerful, creative person. And she uses her experiences to support and encourage others. She's chosen to do this because when she was at her lowest, a peer support worker walked alongside of her, helping her to move from illness to wellness. Amelia also remembers the strength that she received from the hospital chaplain who visited with her while she was there. She says, "The chaplain was simply present with me. He said, 'Amelia, I don't have answers. I don't know why you're experiencing these things, but I will sit with you and hold your hand and I will be with you.'" This then is perhaps the greatest lesson that we can learn from our text this morning. The passage from Philippians is really focused on being more than it is on doing. Yes, it gives you a task list of sorts. Rejoice, pray, petition, give thanks, think positive. But really, these are states of being. Be joyful. Be gentle. Be in prayer. Be thankful. If you are in this state of being, then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. As we worked on this worship material, we asked a group of people who are part of a clubhouse ministry that we run in Mission called Centennial Place. Centennial Place is a place where people who are living with and have lived with mental illness come together to find support in one another in various ways. So I contacted them and asked them if they would participate in the creation of this worship material. And what they did was, is they came up with a to-be list as opposed to a to-do list. After all, they said, we are human beings, not human doings. And you have that list in your package this morning, so I encourage you to look at that. Let's look at it together. And let's start with those who are needing mental health support. So if you are a person who is experiencing some form or degree of mental illness, Here's your to-be list. Be willing. Be willing to ask for help from your friends, your family, community, and from professionals. Be courageous, because it takes a lot of courage to be vulnerable, but courage also multiplies, because when you share your story, as Amelia experienced, you give courage to others to share theirs as well. Be honest. Sharing your reality will allow others to better understand the challenges that you face, and it helps them to know how to respond. Be self-aware. Know what your strengths and weaknesses are, and find ways to use your skills in your community. Be content. Give yourself grace. Keep track of and appreciate those little steps that take you toward wellness day by day. And for those who are offering support, be a listener. Take the time to be quiet, to not talk, and listen when someone shares their experience with you. Be open. It takes courage to share a journey, so be open and non-judgmental as you listen. Be a friend. Put yourself in the shoes of the person who has shared their story with you. How would you like someone to respond to you? Are there practical ways that you can help? Making meals, sitting with someone, cleaning house. My cousin Wally said that when he was going through his experience, there was a long period of time when he could not be alone. And his wife had to go to work, and so he would be at home alone, which would only feed his anxiety. So he had a friend who would come and stay with him during the day and just be in the house. He didn't necessarily have to talk to him, or it wasn't like they were discussing Wally's mental illness or anxiety. He was just present, and his presence was what made the difference for Wally during that time. Be patient, because this is a journey with hills and valleys. Celebrate the successes and be sensitive to the challenges. And be an advocate for those that you support in your community, and also as you present your requests to God. So then, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.